expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in to today's show, we are at 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. And good morning to you. I have no one in the studio with me today. I would like to say that someone forgot their appointment. I would like to say that someone's running late, but I don't get to do that. I've been so busy, I never booked anyone for today's show. And this morning about 10:30, I looked at my clock after doing 10,000 things and go, oh, I'm on the air in a half hour, 35 minutes. And I don't have anyone to interview today. So Fairbanks, it's just us. Call in anything on your mind. Simple as that. There's so many things going on out there. It's, hey, the fair starts on Friday. That's right. What's your favorite fair food? I mean, you go there, you pay the $15 cover charge just to go get a lot of good food that's overpriced, but we do that. You know, that's why I have the show called Fairbanks Foodies, because that's what we do. It's what we get to do once a year. Hopefully they got good food out there, good events. They got a lot of different good concerts, it sounds like, and none that I'm going to, but good ones all the same. You know, the Back in Black. Hey, I'm an AC/DC fan. Simple as that. The Commodores. My big question was, are any of them original? And yes, one of them is original. So you have the Commodore and Ensemble. And then you have a couple of the other good bands that are going to be out there. You know, this was never into, say, per se, live performances of bands. I went to a few in college, enjoyed it. You know, went and saw the Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, bands like that. Jay Giles Band, oh, man, that was a good one. But, you know, in Fairbanks here, I never went into a place, a bar or an event that had a band going to it. Just wasn't my thing. But any entertainment you can get up here, that is good. I remember the Elton John concert. I had tickets to it, and I had a long, hard work day, and I gave my tickets away, and you know, I just had no energy to go see Elton John. Of all the stupid things you do in life, Elton John comes up here just by himself. You know, he's got an extra day, and he decides to have a gig in Fairbanks at the Carlson Center, and I couldn't drag myself out of my house to go see Elton John. Even though I had tickets. And he's one of my favorite entertainers. Hey, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Oh, boy, Benny and the Jets, Funeral for a Friend. He's got some good music out there. So, but anyway, you're coming up to the fair. Starts Friday at noon and ends the following Sunday at 10 p.m. And it's just showing that fall is coming here. And back, you know, when I used to go to the fair, they always had it in mid-August because schools and hunting season started on, you know, right at September 1. That first Tuesday in September is when school started. And so they'd have the fair mid-August. And now that school starts in mid-August, they have the fair at the end of July. To about, what, the 8th, 10th of August, right in there. So, hey, it's the fair. It's coming up. What the heck? But certain things I got to go have at the fair. I got to have my Indian taco, man. Hey, it's just something I like. I like that that flatbread that they make, and then all the things you can put on it. The black beans, the everything, the cheese. It's what I like. And then they have the Cajun Connection. They have the shrimp etouffee out there. You know, it's you don't have a real Cajun cookhouse here. Hey, we got 32 Thai restaurants, but not one Cajun, maybe two Italian. I think that's a form of discrimination since I'm half Italian, but what the heck. So anyway, this is an opportunity for you to get those regional delicacies that just aren't available for you. So go out there and explore. You know, they have the such wonderful food. They have great booths, great educational, some great entertainment. There's so much entertainment going on at all the time. They have special days on this. So it's just a wonderful time, Friday to the following Sunday. Get out there, bring your family, go to the fair at least once, maybe twice. Depends on if you, you know, got to go back for some food. And go enjoy it. They have the Midway with all the rides on it, events. So anyway, you should get out there and go. So happens only once a year, Tanana Valley State Fair, and we are a proud sponsor of all things at that fair. So go ahead and go out to it. So since we're talking about food, I had an issue with Emily this morning. Oh, my goodness. All about food. About 5-6 years ago, maybe 7. My goodness. Time flies when you're having fun. I was involved in a cooking competition. I won the state championship. And it was a steak competition. And what I did was I took a beef tenderloin, trimmed it down to about the 2.5 pounds of what I call the money portion there, the Chateaubriand. And I took sea salt, you know, about a pound of it. And I put in egg white. So I made I was going to coat it with that. I was going to cook it in the sea salt as a wrap. But I took it and the way I cooked this was I took some good mustard, grain mustard, and then I put it over the whole thing. Then I put some good herbs on the outside, some marjoram that I'd grown, some oregano, things like that. Then I wrapped it in a prosciutto. And from there, I wrapped that. I put a temperature probe in there because it's time versus temperature. But I put it and I encrusted it in the salt. Then I put it on my grill and I cooked it and tried to get the temperature up to about 400, 450 degrees, maintain it. And I cooked it for about 20, 25 minutes until the temperature came up to about 115 degrees. And I pulled it out and I took a little hammer and I cracked the shell because it formed a great container in there. And I cracked it and opened it up. And I removed, I let it rest for 15 minutes. I removed the salt that was encrusted around it. And the prosciutto was a great barrier between the salt and the meat. And I tented it and I let it rest for 15 minutes. Then I made these beautiful medallions of the tenderloin. And it was so tender, so juicy. So this morning, our beef, literally, started with that, but then I saw another recipe that I liked that was similar, but instead of, they didn't use as much salt. And instead of putting it, in that much salt encasement, what they did was they took a towel and they dunked it in red wine. And then they removed they screeched out. They wrapped it in the towel with red wine, this meat, and then he took and he placed it directly on hot barbecue coals. and he got the temperature up. There's no temperature probe in it. And so then he pulled it off, and he removed the towel, and he removed the salt. And then he finished it off on the grill with a grate over the coals. And I was thinking, God, I want to do that next Thursday. And that's where Emily interjected. She said, oh, the other one sounds better. So do I go back to my state championship award-winning performance as she requested? Or do I do something I've never done before and be bold about it? We'll take phone calls in regards to this when we get back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
The sun came out and the fish were biting Saturday during the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby. Families from all over Alaska traveled to Valdez, and several entries came from out of state as well. But one family traveled all the way from China. Min Lin said her family drove an RV into Valdez Friday, and the RV park staff told her about the event. With the advice of locals, we went to Allison Point, said Lin. She also went on saying, "This is so exciting and a wonderful experience for us." Although Lin caught her first fish in Valdez back in 2008, this was the first time her children had ever been fishing. Lin said she is thankful that her children and husband were able to make great memories here in Valdez. Kendall Cahill of Palmer, Alaska, competed in the 11 to 13-year age division and shared that she fished the early incoming tide and slayed them. On her entry form, the Cahills wrote, "Best part is hearing all the other kids' excitement of bringing in fish. Pure joy." Tani King shared that her son Mace loves fishing but also loves exploring. He found moon jellies, gunnels, two-spined sticklebacks, and pricklebacks. "We also got to watch a sea lion chasing salmon straight to us," King said.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 66. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 50. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here with by myself. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, there is no wrong answer on which one I should do, because I'm going to do them both. That's right. I'm the barbecue god. I cook incredibly well. So this is what I'm going to do. Next Thursday, Emily and I have Craig Campo coming over and his wonderful girlfriend, Abby. And that is where we're going to do the salt-crusted one. With the normal, the state championship that I will cook. And what I'm going to do is that one, I'm thinking, it's talent is on the air here, thinking. I know I'm full of it, but what the heck. But I'm thinking about making a tarragon cream sauce, you know, with cream and maybe a white Pinot Gris cooked down to a nice sauce and use that as a topping because I got a lot of good tarragon in the herb garden. Then the next week, I will do the other one that's wrapped in the towel. And I'm going to make a nice Cabernet sauce for that. I'll make a nice Cabernet sauce. Then I'll bring Emily in here and have her on Fairbanks Foodies with me and have her give the vote on which one she liked the best. After all, I'm going to cook them both. It's a win-win. How about that? So anyway, that was my morning discussion, and it was all good, all about the food, and wasn't expecting her this to fall directly to the state championship. But on her behalf, she hit it right on the head when I was describing how I cooked this beef tenderloin, and she goes, you know, that sounds a lot like beef Wellington. I go, God, yes, it is. And then she mentioned something about how she's seen me cook beef Wellington twice for people over, for the dispatchers over at the city on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and how I've not made it for her. So she's got a lot of standing in this. You know, I've tortured her. Yes, I've tortured her by cooking the food in front of her and giving it away to other people. It's all about the food. But what the heck, you know? Just the way it is. So that's what I'm thinking about doing. Anyway, again, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Had a lot of people texting me with their thoughts on this, and if you want to call in, do it. Let's see what you got. Anyway. Now, Al, you always say that you try something new. Yeah. Dan, I'm not going to say what you said. Emily might take you up on that. Yeah. Anyway, it's all good. So, now, also, the Polaris building had a great, great golden days and brought people in there to take a few whacks with a sledgehammer. What, you know, this, it's the finals. It's just remnants. Literally, they're pulling rubble out of the basement now. And, you know, another 2 weeks of that probably, because that's a painful, long process. Then they start filling it back in. They compact it as they fill it in. They're keeping the exterior walls up along, on this property, along the boundaries, the exterior boundaries. That way the streets don't cave in and the other properties next to it, parking lots, they don't cave in and keep structural integrity. So they're going to do that. But we're already working on what happens next. What happens next? And yesterday I met with a portion of the Polaris Working Group and started looking at the plan B of what you can transition to if we don't have something on plan A. And something's gonna happen, because if plan A happens on the Polaris building, I was so impressed with what they had that I said, we can do this if plan A happens, we will do this on Turner Street. We'll turn this into a Turner Street is between the Children's Museum is, and right behind it where the old Elks used to be, where Suka's used to be. You have an open area there that's a closed street. That Turner Street is owned by the city. And very interactive, very many intricate plans on how you can use this to format future developments downtown. Plan A would do it. Plan B would really do it too. So Plan B is short term, same thing for, you know, 3 to 10 years until someone wants to develop that site. And today, working on the how we're going to design the request for proposal, sending it out to people, sending it out to different organizations, different members of organizations such as Chamber of Commerce, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, the Realtors Association statewide, the Alaska General Contractors Association, the Building Owners Management Association, trying to get this product that's available out to as many entities as possible. And then from there, we get back a letter of interest. And we work on this, you know, I meet with both the people doing Plan B and the people and myself, and then another group of us, myself, that is putting together the letter of intent. And the restrictions on the letter of interest, rather, there will not be a parking lot. No parking lot. So we're going that direction. And it's coming to fruition. No matter what, something will happen there. Something that is an anchor to bring people to the downtown area. And so we look at, say, Plan B with the interaction there and getting people down there with the different ideas we're thinking of. And then that can transform into what you can do with Plan A in a building, the different shops, the different things to get people down there and how you do it. And then from there, the parking lot of the courthouse. Do you keep that a parking lot? That is on the river. You know, and these are all thoughts over time. This is like a, you know, you start looking at your 10-year plan, 10 years. And how, you know, you take a look at the river, and a river runs through it. It's why we're here. That's where E.T. Barnett ran out of river and got kicked out. That's why we're here. But you take a look at that, and you have more of a dock for people to operate out of the dock, you know, canoes, kayaks, things like that. Then you're taking a look at the log cabin that the city owns. And I say to myself, is the highest and best use of that for basically a shirt shack for the Yukon Quest? And my thought is no, it's not. What else can you put in there? What else can you take that building and remodel it as? That would be a better use, keeping the building, but changing its use, its structure. So we're having those discussions. And what will bring people down into the heart of Fairbanks that are Fairbanksons, that are visitors, that are events, things like that. So, again, this is all coming to fruition because we're able to knock down the Polaris building. There is rubble there now, but over time, you know, it took us 10 years to knock that darn thing down. So you have to say to yourself, okay, it's going to take us another 10 years to take our long-term redevelopment and incorporate it. And this is how we do it. This is what we're doing. This is what we're focusing on. We have river. We have a piece of property that's a parking lot along the river for the courthouse. So we're going to have to satisfy them one way or another of a different parking aspect. And that's going to be a political will there. And I think I can push that through. We have the site itself, Plan A, Plan B. If Plan B is somewhere else, that's great. And you incorporate it all over time. So anyway, different visions, different thoughts. But every day, it's fun working on it. I got to tell you, it's just a lot of fun working on it. Never thought I'd be doing this in my life, but here it is, and I'm involved, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. So anyway, hey, we're going to take a break. It's just me in the studio here, so I'm going to give you some bumper music, some Black Crowes, then some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM. 668.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Confessed murderer Brian Koberger sentenced today following the killings of four University of Idaho students.
I sentenced the defendant to a fixed term of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, a fine of $50,000, and a civil penalty of $5,000 payable to the family of the victim.
Judge Stephen Hippler, Koberger pleaded guilty to the murders earlier this year in a deal to get life in prison and avoid the death penalty. Lawmakers in New York pushing to ban ICE agents from wearing face masks during arrests.
It requires all law enforcement to unmask, display a name, badge number, or other visible markers while working, or they could be charged with a criminal misdemeanor.
Fox's Brian Yenis, supporters of the mask say agents need to protect their identities from anti-ICE activists and potential backlash aimed at them and their families. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports after a 10-year hiatus from the original Alaska State Troopers show, the Troopers are back with another reality TV show. Film crews are currently riding along with Alaska State Troopers for a new TV series premiering in 2026. According to Austin McDaniel, AST information officer, Alaskans might see film crews with Troopers in multiple locations around the state over the next few months. The original National Geographic series AST participated in demonstrated several benefits, including that Alaskans and Americans gained a deeper understanding of the challenges troopers face. It first premiered in 2009 and lasted for 8 seasons. McDaniel said the program sparked increased interest and trust in the work that they do every day. They also saw an increase in applications nationwide from qualified individuals looking to become Alaska State Troopers. This new series is a strategic partnership we hope will build understanding, reinforce public trust, and highlight the vital role that troopers have in every corner of our great state, said McDaniel.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
AI can't get your cell phone up and running. A chatbot can't install your new car battery. And no streaming tutorial can shoot the breeze like your go-to guy at your local Batteries Plus store. At Batteries Plus, our go-tos are here to make sure you're good to go. Batteries Plus, the experts in charge.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market. I'll meet you at the market. Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
The Tenino Valley Farmers Market is open Wednesdays 11 to 4, Saturdays 9 to 4, all summer long. Come find the freshest Alaska-grown produce and the finest Alaska-made products. Come see us at the Tenino Valley Farmers Market all summer long.
Oh, I'll meet you at the market.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Fairbanks is going for gold this August. If you're 50 or older, we want to see you in the games. The Alaska International Senior Games return August 8th through the 17th with almost 20 events like bowling, tennis, track and field, swimming, pickleball, and more. Whether you're competitive or just want to have fun, there's something for everyone. Visit alaskaisg.org or Google Alaska International Senior Games for more information. But don't wait. Registration closes July 27th.
Got that one tree hanging over your house? Or you need a bunch of trees removed for fire safety? The one to call is the Great Alaska Tree Company. They specialize in hazardous tree cutting and removal, especially in tight quarters. Great Alaska Tree Company gives you the most complete tree service with stump grinding, brush cutting, chipping, and even pruning. Licensed, bonded, insured. Everyone loves the Great Alaska Tree Company. Well, everyone but the squirrels, that is. Call Eric today for your free estimate and year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Just me in the studio here, David Prues. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Talking a little bit about the Polaris Building. Now, what we're looking at for the reconstruction of the building or the project is something that is, I would say, finished off in 4 to 5 years. So you're going to have a time frame there of getting back letters of interest, then us responding, looking at financials, and then a commitment has to be made by the respondent. We're going to want to see their conceptual designs, plans, business plan on it, economic impact that this will make, because we have to, if there is more than one submittal, the city council will have to make a decision on which one to accept. The Polaris Working Group will be looking at everything and reviewing with the different recipients and eventually making a recommendation to the city council on which one to accept. Now, what are the tools in the toolbox for the city of Fairbanks to help any of the respondents? Well, we have the property there. It's public property. So therefore, it must go through a public review process. We're not giving it away. We're just not going to say, oh, this David knows this guy and we're going to give it to him. No. This is a very defined public process. But our tools are, we have a site. We can sell it or lease it. We're a city. We have building fees. We can waive all the building fees or a portion thereof. We have the city portion of the real estate taxes and say it's 5 mils. And we can waive portions or all of the taxes for a specific period of time. Whether we're going to do all that, who knows? It's still out there. But we're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, on Saturday, I was riding my bicycle along the river on my way to the Carlson Center to attend the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. And then I looked over and noticed at the National Guard Armory buildings there, I didn't see that tank out there. I don't know how long it's been missing, but do you know?
Wow. No, I don't know. I didn't notice that either, even when I walked by it on the parade.
Huh.
That's been there since about 1970, 72.
Yeah, it's been quite the fixture, yeah.
Yeah. I did not notice that. Did you enjoy the wheel?
Yes, I saw the high kick competition where they do the impossible to try to kick that ball that's hanging 7 feet up in the air. And I also saw the ladies on the mat facing each other, locking arms and trying to pull each other backwards, you know, each one trying to...
Yeah, the stick pull?
The stick pull, I didn't see it. I didn't see the ear. I would have liked to have seen more of it, but I did have that one occasion to be down there. Looked at some of the things for sale, bought a book that somebody wrote, and so forth. And also at the street fair down at the Golden Days Street Fair, I bought a book, Queen of Fairbanks, about Irene Sherman.
Did you take a sledgehammer to the retaining wall of the Polaris building?
No, but I looked over there and saw that it was quite gone, you know. So,
you know, one thing about WIO, those are some incredible athletes that participate in that.
Oh, yeah.
And then what I've noticed is when they, as they participate, they will mentor and give good knowledge and thoughts to their competitors, you know, how to do this, how to do that. It's really a good camaraderie event in sport.
Yeah, it's a wonderful event. I was tempted by, I've never bought baleen, but there was a guy there selling baleen of various lengths from bowhead whales, and I thought, you know, I ought to have my own piece of baleen one of these times, but I couldn't really carry. I was interested in a really long one. I think his wife was selling.
How are you going to get that home on your bike?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was on my bike, and I told the guy, I said, well, I'm on my bicycle. I said, I'd like to. I asked how much it was, but he said his wife was off somewhere just temporarily, and so I didn't really get the full specs of it. But I guess that's something a person ought to have, is a big old piece of baleen.
What area do you bike in from? What is it, you know, college, the airport, North Pole, Farmer's Loop, Chino Hot Springs Road? What area?
Well, I live on Southside Fairbanks. Last night, for instance, I went and biked to West Fred Meyer.
Okay.
And, got some items, some grocery things.
Do you ever use the Barnett Street new bike path?
Well, I did notice that. I noticed that subconsciously, for whatever reason, I avoided down Barnett. I hopped on the sidewalk, which is, you know, there's no pedestrian.
Yeah.
I would certainly get off if there was a pedestrian. But I feel more comfortable on a sidewalk because it just has that natural little...
You're not afraid of someone whacking you in the head on with the car, are you?
Yeah, I'm just a lot safer on a sidewalk. And also, this is silly, but riding my bicycle down this lane, subconsciously, I don't want drivers to kind of grumble under their breath. Look at that lone, solitary bicyclist hogging up a third of the roadway with his special bike lane that he thinks he's so special he's got to have. You know, it wasn't my idea. So I
never thought of that one, but that's of course I'm not bicycling, so what the heck.
Yeah. I'm always very courteous. I let cars have the right of way. That's my rule. I don't try to.
Yeah, 200 pounds versus 2,000 pounds. You know who's going to win that.
Right.
What do you do in the winter?
I have a car, by the way. I have a car.
Okay, okay.
But I do ride my bicycles, you know, when I can, even in the winter. It's just a regular mountain bike. It's not a fat tire bike or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I talk to you, you're riding your bike.
Well, I enjoy riding my bike. I do it when I can. I can carry quite a bit on my bike. I got a rack, and I got a big duffel bag that slings over on each side of the rack. And I can carry a lot. Like yesterday when I went to West Fred Meyer, I could carry quite a few groceries. I had quite a bit in there.
We had on August 2nd, our legislature goes into session, a special session called by the governor, and during the first 5 days, they can veto any appropriation. They can override the veto of any appropriations that the governor vetoed. And the big one is going to be the $50 million that the governor vetoed from the education budget. What do you think that the legislature should do? Do you believe that they should override it or not override it?
Well, I guess to make Melissa happy, they should probably override it. But what I think they really should do is just pass some of those policy changes that the governor was wanting. That's why he vetoed it, is my understanding, is because he wants certain common sense measures and policies to help with education, and they're dead set against it for some reason, and they should reconsider, I think.
Well, you know, you're very correct there in many ways. The governor the education budget has sucked the oxygen out of everything else. Nothing, you know, the Democrats have ran it. Nothing else has mattered. This is what their agenda is. Funding education without any empirical, justifiable markers, measurements of success. Here's the money. We don't care we don't care what the outcome is. Here's the money. The governor wanted outcomes associated with the money.
Yeah.
And that's the difference right there. We all want education. Governor, he wanted outcomes in his bills. They removed all the outcomes, and the NEA just wanted the money.
Yeah, I don't understand why some of the left-leaning folks are so dead set against focusing on outcomes. I don't quite figure that out. But.
It's a cratered system now, and the only consistent thing about the whole thing is that the NEA has always been involved.
Yeah.
And here's your education system. I'll speak for Fairbanks. They had some very bad public policies that drove away a lot of the parents to pull their kids out of public school. So their student body population went down, so their funding went down because of their social programs versus their educational programs. Excuse me, their social beliefs. You know, everyone gets to use the bathroom that's the same sex. Things like that.
Yeah, that's bad.
And, so a lot of parents, hey, we're pulling them out. Now, the Fairbanks School District there, they have the best homeschool program, but they're finding that they're in competition against more established programs, such as the Galena, the Raven, the Lynx out of Nenana, that are more established, and they're taking the students and the money. And the school district isn't getting that money. They're even losing out on that. So there's more than just one portion of this equation that has caused the decline in revenue to the Fairbanks School District.
Yeah, that's true. And I must say that when I went to school here in Fairbanks for the first grade and the 9th and 10th later, I was always happy with the public schools, but that was, of course, way back in the early 70s. So in 1961, when I was in the first grade here in Fairbanks, I appreciated being with the other kids. But it's pretty desperate times when parents feel the need to have to withdraw their kids.
Yeah, and do homeschooling. But, you know, hey, they look for the best education. And you can't fault a parent for that. They look for the best education.
Right.
Okay, buddy, I really appreciate the phone call. You have a great day, and bike on, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did you hear the good news? Idea Homeschool is opening an office in North Pole this fall. That means more local support for homeschoolers and easier access to the clubs, activities, and resources that IDEA families love. Whether you live in North Pole or not, it's the perfect time to join IDEA. You'll get a generous allotment, support from certified teachers who are homeschooling parents too, and freedom to direct your child's education. Stop by the Fairbanks IDEA office this summer to learn more, or visit ideahomeschool.org.
Coming to the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds Saturday, August 2nd, it's Thompson Square.
Are you gonna kiss me all night?
And James Otto.
Darling girl, I just got started loving you.
This is a stripped-down Singer in the Round style concert Saturday, August 2nd at the Tanana Valley State Fair. It's Thompson Square.
This life would kill me if I didn't have you.
And James Otto, being brought to you by The Spur, the official after-party spot. Get your tickets now at ericksonevents.com or at the fair website.
So, you need to get the word out about your upcoming sports or recreation league. So reach the most people with help from the radio station and 50-50 Friday. It's 50-50 Friday, where your business and events are featured every hour, 24 hours a day, for an entire week on not one, but 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks, reaching thousands and thousands of people. Plus a second week where we offer your business 100 radio ads to use as you wish. 50-50 Friday offers more than $11,000 in radio promotion to your business. So what does it cost? Only some gift certificates, which we offer on all of our websites on Friday at 50% off. So make your league the biggest, best ever with help from 50-50 Friday and the radio station, and reach the most people fast. But hurry, as our popular 50-50 Friday event fills up quick. Call the radio station today and ask about promoting your league with 50-50 Friday. Only from the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nenana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 66. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated showers tonight. Lows level off around 50. Cloudy skies. Overcast skies tomorrow. Slight chance for isolated showers. Daytime highs approaching 68. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. We're 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, let's look at school district here and turn back the clock to 3 years ago. Right about now, actually. The school district, the NEA, and the school district were in contract renegotiations. And they came out with this proposal. And some of the April Smith especially, she looked at this proposal financial and said, if we do this, we're going to be shutting down schools. She called it 3 years ago, and I've said this multiple times. Remember this moment, you know, remember that moment, rather, from 3 years ago. And what has happened since then? Since then, they've shut down five schools. They can't afford them. They've had to lay off the janitors and go to a contract. Things like that. This was called out 3 years ago, this issue, when you overpaid. And there's so many portions of this. You know, an airplane doesn't crash for one reason. It's multiple things that in a horrific circumstance that happened. This crash happened over a decade. It's not based on one set of ideals, one set of members of the school district, one set of members of the presiding officers at the school district. This happened over time by successive bad decisions. That's where you're at. So, Melissa Burnett, boy, in this last year, what she's had to deal with. And right now, let's see, right now she's dealing with loss of funding from the federal side, loss of funding now from vetoes, from a budget she had already had in place that they had to have on July 1, and now they're looking at, you know, 15, you know, $2.5 million from federal and what, $5 million from the state, $7.5 million of budget loss just since they implemented their budget. Oh boy. But you know, if this present group of members of the school board, they've done an admirable job. They really have. And I hope you appreciate that. They're working their hardest that they can. This is not easy. It's very emotional. You know, they're shutting down probably the most monetarily influential elementary school in the interior, Pearl Creek. You know, as a realtor, everyone wants Pearl Creek. That school drove up property values. Don't let anyone think any different. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, this is Al.
Hello, Al.
Yeah, Melissa and the school board have made some really good decisions and trying to work their budget, but yet they found well over $100,000 of public money to sue the public to get more public money back. And they still have nice things that aren't required by the Constitution or the statutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they haven't cut enough. They went for the let's get the public all riled up ones instead of getting rid of ones that are less confrontational. And again, $100,000+ that they're going to use to sue the people of Alaska and the United States.
Well, okay.
Which I always wondered, can a school board use money they receive from the state and the feds and the local community
to sue those people who are giving them the money?
No, can they use it for litigation?
That's the same thing. I'm sure they can. It's in their general fund.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's Al. It's the world we live in, so. Just one of those things. Yeah, I understand exactly what your point is. And I just so appreciate Melissa being there and sitting on the top of this powder keg.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Most politicians are political people. We don't agree with everything.
No.
And 98% is better than what most people are passing out of high school with.
True. And I never pass with 98%, I'll tell you that.
Me neither. I had a perfect 2.1 average.
I was right around there, too. I was always at the top half of the bottom third.
But I got to say, my 2.1 back in the early 70s or late 70s was probably more of a B or A-minus range today.
I'm not going to say that. You know, this is what I always say about, you know, I went to public school and then I went to Monroe for high school. And this is what I say about the differences between Monroe and Lathrop. If you were a very, very talented student, you should have gone to Lathrop because they had so much more variety of classes, of different things that you could take there to really expand upon your talent. At Monroe, you were taught to study hard, work hard, regimented. You did not have that variety. And that's what I needed. I needed that regimentation. And I had other friends who were so gifted, you know, and some of them at Monroe and other ones at Lathrop, and they did so well by the things that they could take over at Lathrop that I, first of all, I wouldn't have taken those, but they had the opportunity, and that was the difference, and I so appreciate public schools for that difference.
Excellent. I got to get back to squeezing fish.
Go squeeze some fish, buddies. I don't want to know about your personal life.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, my goodness. Also, finish up on this one. You know, I think I've done pretty good for not remembering to get a guest and going through my food foray this morning. And we have the fair coming up starting on Friday and talking about the Polaris and tenderloin dinners and my choices versus Emily's requirements. And Emily's requirements come first, so simple as that, for food. And but the gas line had Will Stapp, Representative Will Stapp, District 32, on the air yesterday. But on Monday, he brought up the people who are looking at developing that gas line. And they gave reports, and whether it's successful or not, what I liked about it is you're going to know real fast by the end of the year whether this is going to happen or not. There's no lingering. There's no paying them extra money. Remember the $500 million we had to pay to the one company out of Canada who was looking at doing it and they couldn't do it and we had to buy them out because they had all the rights? Oh, my goodness, under the Palin administration? Oh, my goodness. So, Will Stapp, kudos to you for getting him up here. He brought him to all these different industries, had them take questions from all these different industries, give information to all these different industries, and they were able to explain why they think it's going to work and where they're at in the process and the percentages of their successful so far and where they think they need to be to say, yes, we're doing this or no, we're not. And there is no economic payment if they decide not to do this like there has been in the past for other organizations. And so kudos to Representative Stapp for doing this and getting that done. It was very enlightening, but we're going to know within 5 months whether this is with this time, whether it's going to go or not. And that in itself is something we've never seen before. Usually it's okay. We're going to be doing this. We got another study of this. So anyway, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I will see you on Friday. You have a great week. See you then.